Shalom, and welcome to Via Havta Yisrael, a Hebrew phrase which means, you shall love Israel. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes as our teacher, Dr. Baruch, shares his expository teaching from the Bible. Dr. Baruch is the senior lecturer at the Zera Avraham Institute based in Israel. Although all courses are taught in Hebrew at the Institute, Dr. Baruch is pleased to share this weekly address in English. To find out more about our work in Israel, please visit us on the web at loveisrael.org. That's one word, loveisrael.org. Now, here's Baruch with today's lesson.
When you open up the Word of God, do you understand the Scriptures? Or does it appear that there's a darkness that comes over the text? And as you read and read more and more, you find yourself more and more confused. Now, there's a reason for that, and that is this. When someone reads the Word of God without the desire to implement that truth into their life, there's not going to be revelation. There's not going to be illumination on the text. And what's happening is this. Messiah is speaking to these leaders, and they simply aren't getting it. Now, I want to say one thing that's very important, and that's this. Yeshua loved these leaders. He didn't have hate towards them. In fact, the fact that he spent so much time speaking to them, sharing with them, saying the same things over and over and in different ways shows his great love for them, that he wanted to see a transformation in their life. The question is this. Are you going to be wiser than them? Are you going to desire to be able to perceive the truth? Are you going to be wise enough to pray, God, make known to me your word so that I might keep it, implement it in my life, and bring you honor and glory? That simple decision, being sincere, is going to bring about great, tremendous change and transformation in every aspect of your being. You are going to be amazed at how you start seeing things and perceiving things differently. So with that said, take out your Bible and look with me once more to the Gospel of John, chapter 8, and now to verse 43. Now, what we find here is that Messiah has been speaking, and he's been talking about why he has come into this world, that he's come to set us free, that we might respond, that we might be his disciples, that we might remain in his word. But he speaks to these leaders and said, you know what? You don't belong to me because you are not living. You may be the physical descendants of Abraham, but you don't understand the spiritual dimension of Abraham, that he was a man of faith, that he was someone who, when confronted with the truth, he responded in obedience. So look with me to verse 43. Yeshua is speaking and he says, why my speech? Now, that word can be even language. He said, you know, I'm trying to communicate with you. I'm speaking. And why is it that my language you do not know? For you are not able to hear my word. Why is that? He says, for you are from your father, the devil. Now, remember what we talked about last week. Yeshua had been speaking about the two sources of one's existence in this world. That is, you are either going to belong to a godly heavenly father, that is to God himself, or you're going to belong to Satan. And that's what he's going to begin to reveal clearly in this passage. When he says, your father, who is that? The devil. Now, that word in Greek comes from the word, same word in English, we get the word diabolical. What's that? Someone who is conniving, someone who is deceitful, but he does so in a very, very brilliant manner. And what we're called to realize here is Satan is just that. He is diabolical. He can deceive someone, and he has great intelligence in order to utilize his deceit, his cunningness, in order to deceive you and get you to do his will instead of God's will. And oftentimes he can cause you to believe that you're serving God when you're serving him. So once again, he says, you are from your father, the devil. And his desire, some Bibles will say lust, but it's just a general word for desire. And the desires of your father, you desire. So here's the problem. What is he talking about? Well, let's talk a few minutes about Satan. What do we know about him? Well, we know that he was created by God to be, he was an angel, a chief angel, for the purpose of leading worship, praising God. He didn't want to do that. He didn't want to praise God, rather he wanted himself to be praised. And his utmost desire was to exalt himself over God. What does that mean? He wanted to be in control. And the problem is this. When you and I want to be in control of our life, when we want to make the decisions, remember what those leaders said. We are not slaves to anyone. That word slave can be servant. We don't serve anyone. For we are what? Free already. We have been liberated. We can do what we want. Well, when we think we're doing what we want, you know what we're doing? We have been deceived, and we are going to be instruments of unrighteousness, and we are going to be serving that diabolical one, the devil. And that's why Yeshua says in this passage, his desires are what you desire. For this one is a murderer from the very beginning. Now, understand the context of the words that he is using in this passage. He talks about murderer. There is a connection between murdering and the concept of hate, in the sense, the opposite of love. I mean, you don't murder someone that you love. You murder someone that you don't love. And when he uses this term murderer, what we need to see from the position of Judaism is a murderer is someone that exemplifies the exact opposite of the Torah. What does the Torah teach? See, many people look at the Torah and they say, oh, that's a thing of the past. It has no more relevance whatsoever for the believer. That's in the past. I'm a New Testament believer. How foolish someone is. Because they do not understand the law. Now, be very careful. We are not saved by the law. In fact, today, without a temple, over 200 commandments are impossible to be done. So the law has to be a unit, because there's an impossibility of keeping all the law because of the absence of the temple. We're not under the law. But if we think that means that the Word of God, those commandments, don't have any relevance whatsoever, we have been deceived. When we look at the commandments of God, we see God's expectations for humanity. And when we summarize the law, one time Yeshua was asked to do that. He says, he was asked, what's the greatest of all the commandments? And you know what he says? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he says, the second one is like it. And that is, love your neighbor as yourself. When we look at those two things, we find all the law is in these two commandments. And what do they begin with? V'ahavta, which means, and you shall love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, and love your neighbor as yourself. What's the connection? Love. See, what we need to understand is this. When we hear the Torah, or the law of God, what is the chief characteristic of the law? The answer to that is love. So when it says here that the devil, the Satan, is a murderer from the beginning, what is he? What Paul says, he is a man of lawlessness. He is against the Torah. As believers, we should be exemplifying the Torah in our behavior. When we walk in the Spirit, we do not fulfill the desires of the flesh, but we fulfill the righteousness of the law. That's what Paul teaches. See, we have to be biblically sound and not simply believe these talking points, spiritual ones of Christianity, that oftentimes is based upon a false understanding. So look again, speaking about the devil, and he says in the second half of verse 44, this one is a murderer from the beginning, and truth is not in him. He does not stand in truth, because truth is not in him. Whenever he speaks, what does he speak? He speaks lies. For of himself he speaks. Now, this is why it's so important for us to learn scriptural truth. Why is that? There's a warning. And this warning is, don't speak of yourself. Messiah said in John chapter 7, John chapter 8, many times in many ways, he says, I don't say anything of myself. Only what I hear from the Father, this I share. The one who sent me, this concept of authority, he speaks about him being under his Father's authority. And when we speak of our own initiative, when we speak of ourselves, we're seeking our own glory. And when we're doing that, we're inviting the enemy, the devil, into our life. See, he's diabolical. When we serve self, we're serving him. We don't think that, but that's the cleverness of Satan. He has deceived us. So look again. We find, whenever he speaks, what does he speak? Lie. Why? Because he speaks of himself. Because he is the father of lies. That's his nature. He cannot speak the truth. And the only truth is what? Scripture. So when I am not basing my life's decisions, when I am not basing my speech upon Scripture, I am going to be speaking falsehood. And when I speak falsehood, it's like waving an invitation for the enemy and his demons to come into my life. As a believer, we cannot be possessed, but we can be oppressed by the enemy. It's like doing that. So we have to be clear that we need to walk in truth, and that's what Messiah is warning us. So when we speak of ourselves, we are speaking lies like the devil, for he is the father of the lies. Look at verse 45. But I speak the truth, but you do not believe in me. Why? If he's speaking the truth and it's supported in the scripture, why aren't these leaders believing in him? And this is the third time that he's brought faith, belief, into this section. They don't believe in him because they're not hearing what their will is. They're not hearing something that furthers their plans, their objectives, and they never will. And that's why so many times God is silent in a person. I cannot tell you the number of times that people say, Why is God so silent? Why don't I hear his leading, his guiding? Why don't I have these convictions that cause me to do this or that? Why do I feel so alone? And the reason is this, is because a person is not wanting to hear truth. They're not wanting to submit. They have their own agenda, and God's not going to be part of that. He's going to be silent. You are grieving the Holy Spirit. So he says in this passage of Scripture, he is the father of all lies. He says, but I speak the truth, but you do not believe me. Verse 46. He says, why, he says, has any one of you convicted me of sin? So he's saying here, look at my life. Have any of you been able to convict me of sin? But if I, truth, speak, he says, why do you not believe in me? What he's asking is this. Can you find any error in his teaching? Is there anything that Yeshua said that was in conflict with what the prophet said? Or with what Moses said? Or anything in the Old Testament? One of the beauties of the New Testament is that it doesn't go very far until it references something from the old. What we see is the New Testament is not new revelation, it's simply Old Testament revelation in a very clear manner. It has taken on a body, a form, in which we can perceive and hopefully will respond to. So that's why Messiah says, had any man convict me of sin, but if I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? Verse 47. He says, this one being from God, the word of God he hears. And on account of this, you do not hear. He says, if someone is from God, he will hear the word of God. But you're not hearing, meaning you're not obeying because you're not from God. Verse 48. Therefore, notice how they get angry. Therefore, the Judeans answered and said to him, clearly or righteously or properly, however you want to translate that word, rightly we have said that you are a Samaritan. Now, it's almost comical. Messiah is giving them hard scriptural evidence. He is saying, convict me if I've said something against the Torah, if I've said something against the Word of God, show me where my teachings is wrong. But if I speak the truth, why don't you believe in me? And what do they say? They simply call him a name. They simply come up with a phrase in order to put him down publicly. They say, you are a Samaritan. Now, is that true? Was he a Samaritan? He was not. And they are what? Bearing false testimony. See, we need to see the scripture for how it's revealed. These leaders, not the Jewish people in general, but the leadership, they say, you are a Samaritan and you have a demon. Well, if he has a demon, where's the evidence? Where is his false teaching? Where is he violating the word of God? They give no evidence. They just call him by name. Therefore, look at verse 49. Yeshua says, I have no demon, but I honor my Father, but you do not honor me. But I do not seek my glory, he says, for the one, there is one who seeks it and judges. Now, who is he referring to here? He's referring to God. There is only one that should seek his own glory. And that is the one who has the right to make judgment. And who is that? God. So in this passage of scripture, we see Yeshua, not just in John chapter 8, but beginning in John chapter 7, shows over and over two things. That he is totally committed to his heavenly Father. He is the one that has sent him, and he's being obedient to that. Verse 51. Truly, truly, I say to you, if a certain one, the word, my word keeps, he shall never experience death forever. Now, I like this because what does he keep bringing up? The kingdom of God. He makes a promise. If anyone should keep my word. Now, where is he getting that word from? Well, what did he say? One who hears from the Father. He says, that's who I am. I've heard from the Father, and this I'm speaking. So if anyone keeps my word, what is his word? His Father's word as well. If anyone should hear my word and keep it, he says, death he shall never see. And this word never is redundant because he says, as well, shall not see. So he shall never see death. Now, what's he talking about here? He's talking about kingdom. You're not going to see death. You're going to have a kingdom experience. Therefore, they said unto him, who? The Judeans. Not the Jewish people in general. The Judeans. Now we know that you have a demon. Because Abraham has died, and so have the prophets. They died. But you have said, if a certain one my word keeps, he shall never taste death forever. Now, what's he speaking about here again? A spiritual dimension. Abraham, they said, died. The prophets have died. No, they have simply passed from this age into the next. But Yeshua has taught many places how he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's not a God of the dead, but he's a God of the living. And this view is not something that originated with Yeshua. Judaism teaches that. So they don't even understand the things that they teach to others. That when someone has been redeemed, they don't experience death. They experience what? Eternal life. Move on to verse 53. They say, are you greater than our father Abraham who died and the prophets have died? It says, if anyone of himself do this, what are you, in other words, what they say is, what are you making yourself to be? And Yeshua answered, for if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. He says, but my Father, he is the one that glorifies me. But you do not speak that God is your Father, because you do not know him. He says, you can't say that God is your Father because you do not know him. But I know him, and I speak that which I speak that which I know, but you do not speak. If he says, if I did not speak what I know, I would be like you, meaning what? Liars. So Yeshua is now speaking very harshly to them. He's saying, I speak of what I know. If I don't speak of what I know, I would be like you and I would be liars. So here's this one from Galilee speaking to the best minds in Judaism. And what does he say? He says, you speak falsehood. How do you think they would feel? But remember the context. This is all going about in Jerusalem. The context is still making oneself dependent upon God. And that's exactly what Yeshua is doing. And he says these harsh words to them. And I want you to see their response. Look, if you would, to verse 55 at the end. He says, but I know him, and his words I keep. Abraham, your father, rejoice in seeing one of my days. And he did see, and he rejoiced. Why? Abraham's not dead. He is alive. That's the point. Through faith in the redemptive work of God, it gives us eternal life. Therefore, verse 57, the Judeans, they said to him, 50 years you do not yet have, and Abraham you saw. Therefore, Yeshua said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Now, again, this is probably the most clearest example of Yeshua using that term, ego eimi. I am, referring to his divinity. Now, let's look at the context very carefully. Yeshua is being challenged. They say, you're not even 50 years old, and you claim that you have seen Abraham? And what is his response? He says, before Abraham was, I am. Meaning that he is clearly saying that he's God. Now, this time, they get it. They finally understand that he is saying, I am the one sent by God. I am God's only begotten Son. I am Emmanuel here. And when they hear him speak about his divinity, what do they want to do? Well, look at our last verse. Look, if you would, to verse 59. Therefore, they lifted up stones in order to cast upon him. Now, this is what they've been wanting to do for several chapters, going all the way back to chapter 5, 6, 7, and now we're at the end of chapter 8. They wanted to seize him. Well, they're not waiting for him to be seized and given a trial. They are so angry. They are out of control. They have heard that their father is the devil. They have heard that they only speak lies, and they are so beside themselves with anger at that very moment. And where are they? In the temple. They pick up stones to do what? To kill him. They don't care about the people. They are just so angry. They are out of control and they're wanting to kill him. So look again, and this scripture is so important. And the sad thing is this. So many Bible translations in English and in other languages, they miss out. They don't translate it accurately. They miss out on the passive aspect of a verb here. And because of that, therefore, some translations are forced to just leave out part of the verse. And others put it in and it doesn't make sense. So I want to give you a very accurate conclusion of chapter 8 and what verse 59 says. And there's an evidence of God's providence in this verse. Why do I say that? Well, look again, verse 59. Being angry, these leaders, not the people, but the leaders, therefore they lifted up stones in order to cast upon him. But, now remember that word they, it's to show a contrast. They thought finally, this is it. We are going to stone him to death. That's their plan. They've had it for several chapters. And now they're at the point where they're going to carry it out. But. Now, I've heard a person say every time there's this phrase, but, in the scripture, we should think, but God. I mean, this was going to happen if it wasn't for God. But God, they would have done it. But God is going to show himself faithful. Why? Because Yeshua has demonstrated perfect obedience, perfect trust in his heavenly Father. What the scripture says was this, but Yeshua was hidden. Now, it does not say that he hid himself. I mean, some translations add to the text that he ran away and hid himself. Yeshua didn't hide himself. He didn't run away. What does it say? He was hidden. Who hid him? It's in the passive. Someone had to hide him. And that was his heavenly Father. Now, it didn't take him and remove him from the place. It just made him invisible. That's the only thing that we can conclude. Because these individuals, they had stones. They wanted to throw it at him. But Yeshua was hidden from them. And it says, and he went out from the temple. Didn't hide. He was hidden from them. He went out of the temple. And it says, and he passed through the midst of them. They didn't see him. He passed right through the midst of them. Thus, he passed by them. So it emphasizes twice. He didn't go and hide in some place. The ones who translate it that way, they have to take out these last two sentences because their translation makes no sense because they do not recognize the passive aspect. He was hidden from them, and he passed right through. He went through the midst of them as he went out of the temple. God's providence. So we can learn something from this. When we walk with God, we don't need to worry about the enemy. If it's not our time, God will move. He will do miracles. He will be our defense. We don't need to worry about the enemy. We simply need to be passionate about the truth, being committed to the things of God, and we can expect God's faithfulness to be seen in and through our life.
Well, we hope you will benefit from today's message and share it with others. Please plan to join us each week at this time and on this channel for our broadcast of loveisrael.org. Again, to find out more about us, please visit our website, loveisrael.org. There you will find articles and numerous other lectures by Baruch. These teachings are in video form. You may download them or watch them in streaming video. Until next week, may the Lord bless you in our Messiah Yeshua, that is, Jesus, as you walk with him. Shalom from Israel.